get our Bibles out, brothers and sisters. I told you last week in the message, I said that a lot of Christians have come out of the tomb, but they forgot the what? Take off what? Take off the grave clothes, right. A lot of people come out of the tomb, but you forgot to take what? The grave clothes off. And the grave clothes still, you know, they wrap you and they embolden you and you can't do anything. And Christians need to not only come out of the grave, but then what do they need to do? Take off the grave clothes. Put on the new stuff, right? And I told you that Easter Sunday, we all used to, as little boys and girls, we got the new Easter shoes. And how many remember the Easter shoes? And yeah, the clip-on ties. And all of the girls had on the dresses and the hats and all that stuff. And kids don't have Easter shoes anymore. They got Easter video games. Just speaking the way that it is. Kids don't have Easter dresses anymore. They got Easter iPads. It's a shame. I guess what's wrong with the kids these days? Well, there's nothing wrong with the kids. It's wrong with what? The parents, right? How many of you had to go to Sunday school when you was being raised up, right? I remember telling my mom, God rest her soul, Ma, I don't feel well. She said, then get to church. They'll make you better. So you brought your son. Well, make him better. Make him better. I know. Jen texted Sissy and I on the way in this morning. She said she can't make the new membership class because her little boy wasn't feeling well. And Sissy said, well, we certainly understand. And there she is. And she brought him. We'll make him better through the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? So we know that we need to take off the grave clothes. We need to put on the new stuff, right? I told you last week in the Easter message that when Lazarus came out after being dead for 4 days, what did Jesus say? Take off the grave clothes, and set them free. And it says, in Scripture in John 12, it says, you know, when Lazarus went, it said people came from all around to see Jesus and to see who? Lazarus. Why would they want to go see Lazarus? You think they just want to go see Jesus, right? No, it says they came from all around to see who? Lazarus. They wanted to see what a dead man walking looks like. Who is this person that was dead and now lives? Well, how many of you are dead and now you live? Amen. And people come from all around and they want to see, what does a dead man look like who now was born again? They want to look at a woman and say, what does a woman look like who said she was dead and now she lives? What do they look like? And if we have on the grave clothes, guess what? You look like you always looked. You look no different. You look just like who you used to look. You do the things you did before. You go to the places you went before. You say the things you said before. You drink the things you drank before. There's no difference. And the person said, well, wait a second. That looks like good old Joe. Like the old good old Joe I've always known. Who wants to be like good old Joe? So when we come out of the tomb, what are we supposed to do? Take off the grave clothes and what? Put on Jesus. And in the series I'll be bringing you starting next week. This is a precursor of that. It's what good is your faith if you don't do something with it? Faith without works is what? Yes. Next week I'll be starting a whole series when faith will do, bring you from all kind of places. Anxiety, depression, boredom, loneliness, forgiveness. Faith is going to bring you out of that tomb. But today we start with an order for us to know that we have to have a beginning place. We have to understand that you go from a child to a grown-up. You go from an infant needing spiritual milk to sitting at the table with the meat and the potatoes. And what is our job? Other than Matthew 28, going to preach in the gospel, what is also our requirement is to what? Is to grow and mature in the faith. Is that not true? It's to grow and it's to mature in our faith. Is that not also true? In any supper line in any church, there are more people waiting to eat than there are people serving. Is that true? It is true. When Yoshiko does the free market, there'll be a lot more people lined up to receive than there are who are willing to what? Is that true? It is true. So what we have to kind of differentiate in the church is that we do have people with great needs. And then we have people that are willing to serve. No question about that. And so what is our job spiritually in the church? is to grow. And in some ways, as our parents used to say when we were little kids, grow up. How many's ever been told that? Not you, Ed, no. You're still being told that, right? And we know that we also need to grow up in the church. And we're not talking physically. Butch and I was talking about coming in the door. We both looked at each other and said, you know, we don't feel any older because we're already old. How many know when you're older, you don't feel older because you already got there? Now, when you're 20 working your way there, you start to feel old. But when you're old, Leonard, what's up? We're already there, whatever. We're just thankful we got up. Older people don't say, I feel old. I feel alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Ed. Thank you, Jesus. So let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 15, 1.
We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves.
There's no question that sometimes our purpose in the church is to help those who are weak. That's the purpose of our church. It's for those that are strong and mature in our faith is to be able to help those who are what? Weak. Now that certainly differentiates that there's two kinds of folks we're talking about. We have those that are weak, and we have those that are strong. And those who are strong are to be able to help those who are weak. So certainly there are two classes in the church, right? Those that are mature in their faith that need to be able to help those who are weak in the faith. That makes perfect sense. And oh, what a blessing it is to be able to receive the help that you need when you need it. Somebody say amen to that. How many's ever needed help? Now, we're not talking about going to cut somebody's grass. We're talking about helping somebody who is weak in the faith to become strong in the faith. Help me understand that. We all need to help people. And I know that we know this. It is such a better to give than it is to receive. So we are to help. No question. So go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1.
I, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted.
Right. No question that we have those that are spiritually mature to be able to help those who are spiritually what? Immature. There's no question about that. No question. So the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, well, how do we get from immature to what?
Mature.
That's the question. Or are we all to stay spiritually immature? No. And there are giants in this room of spiritual maturity. And I'll name you one, Mary Medlin. No, Mary, it's true. One of the reasons why I'm in the ministry today is because of her. There's no question about that. I remember my wife, Sissy, when she was in a women's Bible study, they were asking, who is your role model and whom would you like to fashion your life after? And my Sissy could have said anybody. And she said Mary Medlin. She said Mary Medlin. And that was 30 years ago. Mary Medlin. So thank you, Mary, for being such a spiritual mature warrior. I'm serious. A spiritual mature warrior. And there are spiritually mature warriors in this room. There's certainly that there are. But there are also what? Those that are coming up. Those that are coming up. And that's okay. Because the church needs both, right? We have said, what's our doctrinal statement here? Is to equip, train, and then what? Send forth. It's your turn. It's your turn to minister to somebody else. Downstairs, we have a spiritual warrior downstairs teaching kids. No question about it. She's a spiritual pillar, is my wife. No question about it. But she went from a babe in the Lord to a pillar. And our job is to understand that we need to move on in our maturity. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
No question. We are to bear one another's burdens. No question. Hands down, we need to do that. How many understand that's our job? We're not to judge one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. If we can't bear one another's burdens in this room, where are we going to go? I'm just being screwed. That's right. Willie, we can go stand right now down on 79 and get a ticket. But if you stand on 79 and have 1,000 cars pass you in an hour, they don't care about you. You think they care about you? Yeah, they'll care about you. In fact, they'll probably run you over. Certainly, we need to understand that in this room, we are what? Cared about. How many care about people in this room? We are to bear with one another's burdens. No question about it. No question about it. You have a need, you make a call. We agree with that? You got a need, you make a call. Sissy and I clearly know that if we have a need, we need to get a bigger driveway because all the cars ain't going to fit. How many know that about your house too? You got a need, you make a call, you better get a bigger parking space. Because Friday night, I witnessed another event. I am so proud of the men of this church. I am just, my buttons just pop open. Friday night, we're at Men's Challenge, and it was a great teaching. Music was okay, too. But the message that one of our brothers, Jim Bernesser, gave, he had a bunch of rocks there. A bunch of rocks, and he had put them on the floor, on a table, on a chair there. And he said, you know, the stoning of the prostitute, let thou amongst you that have no sin in your heart, you cast the first stone. And his challenge to men was, you know, if you're carrying stuff and you're harboring stuff and you want to throw a rock at somebody, pick it up. There's your rock. Pick it up. Go throw it. Or lay it down. One by one, men would go up and pick up the rock and they'd throw it in this bucket that he had. And there was one man there had a grudge for many, many years. I forgot how many years, but a lot of years. And he came up and he picked up a rock. He had a really big rock in his hand. He had a big rock and he couldn't lay it down. He was struggling with it. And one of our men from our church went up and put his arms around him. Scott. Scott did that. Unbelievable. He went up there and he put his arm around that guy. I saw you whisper something to us. I don't know what you did. You said something to him. It's okay, brother. It's going to be okay, whatever. And that guy threw his rock down. Spiritually mature. Ministering to the babe in Christ. Help me understand that. That's the job. How do we go from a babe to an adult? Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Galatians 6, 4 to 5.
But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load.
So we go from bearing one another's burdens to another passage of Scripture says we are also to what? Bear our own. There are times that we have to work it out. There are times that we have these issues in our life, and what must we do? Work it out. Work it out. If you constantly cannot work it out, then you will never be mature in your faith. True? There are times also in the church that we have to move from constantly needing help spiritually to what? Giving it. Working it out. How many have a Bible? Did you know the answers are in there? Yes. Did you know all the answers to all of your problems are in there? And did you know that when you call me, I go to the book to give you the answers that you could have what? Read for yourself. Did you also know that when I go to prayer for you, you could have bypassed me completely and what? Went through yourself. And today, right now, on April the 27th, I'm giving you permission to work it out. You don't need to call me and work it out. Guess what? You got the book. What must you do? Read it. And then what? Apply it. Mark Twain once said, and I love this quote, and you should remember this. Mark Twain said, and I told my new membership class today, Mark Twain said, it's not the things in Scripture I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things I do understand that bothers me. See, I don't lay awake at night worrying about what propitiation is. That doesn't bother me. I don't have restless nights going, oh my gosh, what is propitiation? No. What bothers me is the things I do understand and points right back to who? me. Everybody wants a powerful message to fly over their head and smack the guy behind you. I know that's true, because you're all looking at me, right? I look at you. Which I'm telling you, people do this all the time. Wake up. Take notes. He's talking to you. Or people will say, Pastor Tom, can I have a copy of that? Why? I need to give it to somebody. Make it two. And so there are times that we need to work it out. Turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 14, verse 12.
So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Mm.
You know, when I was raising up my kids, some of them were pretty darn independent. But some of them were high maintenance, too. How many of you know you had some high maintenance? Don't answer. Don't answer, because we all know who you're talking about. Don't answer. I mean, how many of you had some high maintenance kids? Anybody had some high maintenance kids growing up? Woo! High maintenance, right? But some of our kids were pretty, independent. Is that true? I was with my grandchildren yesterday. I was coaching Riley softball, and it was like a 10 and under team, and there was a little 8-year-old girl there, and I was saying, hey, let me show you the bat. I can do it. Hey, okay. She's pretty what? Independent, right? But you know that there are Christians that are high maintenance too? Who said, oh yeah? There are Christians that's high maintenance, right? There are Christians that are mature, and there are Christians that are pretty high maintenance. And our job is to define, well, what is high maintenance? What does that mean? What does high maintenance mean? Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 13.
Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed.
Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. That means whose hands? Yours. Yours. If you're lagging spiritually in maturity, what need you do? Strengthen them. Strengthen them. Scripture says pretty clearly, therefore, strengthen the hands and hang down. In the feeble knees, make them straight. Make them straight. So that which is lame, not be dislocated, but rather to be healed. That is taking care of who? You. You. How many in this room has got it all together? Not a one, I didn't think. How many of you do not have it all together? Now here comes the real grown-up bold question. Okay, let's all be grown-ups today. Let's not go downstairs where sissy's teaching. Let's stay up with the men and the women. Let's stay up where the meat and potatoes are, right? How many of you know what your issue is? How many need me to call you on the phone and tell you what your issue is? How many know what your deal is? So I got one word for you, or two. Fix it. But I don't know how. Can I see the blueprint you got right there? The how. Man, you wrote in yours too. Woo! Look at hers, man. Come on, artist. Woo! You got your duct tape on yours? This Bible's been around the block. She wrote in it. She didn't highlight it. She just wrote in it. How many know this is a good Bible? This is a real good Bible. You don't want to trade this one in. Sister, thank you. This is a good Bible. Woo, don't trade this one in. You've been writing in this. How many know that when you need to work it out and fix it, guess where the blueprint is? It's in there. High maintenance means you need someone to tell you how to what? Fix it. Mature people look at the Bible and what? Read it and apply it. And that's our job. Our job is to move up the line to where you have some kids downstairs. You're teaching the kids instead of the kids teaching you, right? There are times in all of our lives that we need to move to the next step. We need to go from being taught to be willing to what? Teach. We need to move from the spot in our Christian walk to being served to what? Serve. That's our job. Is it an easy job? No. It's not easy. How many got issues? That's why it's not easy. How many is quicker to fix somebody else than fix yourself? Counseling, Jimmy. Counseling 101. Counseling 101. They teach this to you in school. Counseling 101. When you sit down at a table and people are trying to work stuff out, guess what the person's complaining about? The other person. It's always about the other person. Counseling 101, you have to get them to stop talking about who? The other person, and start talking about themselves. How many know that's counseling 101? Get off everybody else and finally get on what? You. How many's ever tried to change anybody? How many still trying? Sandy, give it up. Give it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4.
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to the babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal?
Yep. Babes in the Lord and people that are still, you know, on the spiritual bottle, they need coddled. And that's okay. And they need convinced. And they need encouraged. And they continue to me, come on, you can do this. 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 Help me understand that. And it's okay, because in the beginning of your faith journey, that's what you need. Come on, you can do this. No, I can't. Yes, you can. And we like to quote those things, right? For I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That's the stuff we say. Come on, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. Come on, come with me when you do this, right? That's the early part of the journey. That's the early part. But then, sooner or later, as a mature Christian, you need to what? Get up. And what? Go do it. Just get up and go do it. Which was evidenced by me, by Scott. There were probably 40 guys there, I suppose. 40 guys. At least 40 guys. Maybe more. And this guy got up and... He was struggling. He was struggling. Anybody could have got up to help that guy. Got up, walked over, put his arm around the guy, and stood in front of all those men. Way to go. What did it teach me? Strength and maturity in the Lord. He didn't say, I hope somebody goes and does this. He didn't say, geez, why isn't somebody doing this? He didn't say, oh, I pray that somebody does this. What did he do? I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I wanted you to know I knew. Maturity in the Lord. Is that not our job? And churches can be immature too. Can't they? Churches can be immature too. A whole church can be that way. One of my brothers, Glenn, where's Glenn? Glenn oftentimes says to me that, you know, you got to be careful about having a building because people will start to honor the building. That's immature Christians who honor the building. How many understand that? That's immaturity. If you worship the building, and he's right, if you're all into the building, that's immaturity. What we should be is Jesus is first, right? Amen. Jesus, ministry, people, way down the bottom is what? Yeah. Building. Turn your Bibles, please, to Philippians Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7.
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident that this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace.
All right. Two churches were given examples of, one in Corinth and one in Philippi. And Paul is saying to the first one, really? You're fighting over this again? Really? You're trying to decide who's more important and, you know, who's higher and who's lower? Really? I mean, you're every time I think about you, you're carnal, you're babes in the Lord. But he says the Philippi church, what? Every time I think of you, I praise God because you are strong. You understand what is important and that which is not important. The church in Corinth, high maintenance church. Church in Philippi, strong church. How many want to be in a strong church? Well, strong church has to consist of what? Strong people. A high maintenance church, high maintenance people. It's the way that it works. And today, the Sunday after Easter, anybody still celebrating resurrection? Because I am. I'm an Easter boy every day. How many's an Easter boy? I'm Easter every day. Every day I got to come out of that tomb, and every day I got to take off what? Take off them stinking, old, dirty, rotten grave clothes and put on Christ every single day. Because I want to let you know something. Some people come in here to see me on a Sunday, and a lot of people come in to see you. Did you know that? Yo, Scott, Robin, Colin, Whitey, they come and see you. You might think, oh, they're coming here, Pastor. No, they're not. They can listen online. They're coming to see you. And you know when you go to work and you profess Jesus Christ and you're sitting next to them, guess who they're watching? You. And when you go to the mall and you go to the Walmart, guess who they're watching? You. And when you get outside, you got your Jesus shirt on, guess who they're watching? You. How many's a Steeler fan in this room? Steeler, Pittsburgh Steeler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's got a Steeler jersey? Ooh, I know you do. Sometimes you wear it on Sunday mornings and Easter Steeler time. Ooh, I see them. Ooh, they got the Steeler shirt on. That means you're a Steeler fan. How many's got a Penguin shirt? Hey, they're in the playoffs, right? How many's a Pirate fan? Pirates are winning. We're some fans now. So we got some Steeler fans and you got a what? Steeler shirt. You got some Pirate fans and you got a what? A Pirate shirt. How many Jesus fans we got here? I'm just asking. That means you got a what? Jesus shirt. He should be the only. And the unfortunate truth is this. When the Steelers are losing, take the shirt off. The other realistic truth is when Jesus has you going through some trials, maybe I don't feel like wearing the Jesus shirt today. Understand this, brothers and sisters. The world's watching you too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all.
What is our job? And I won't be able to go through all of these because the time is running short. But let me just assure you of this. Our job in this room, right here, I'm preaching to a choir. Most of you, if not all of you, are already saved. Would that be a fair assessment? How many are saved? So I'm not preaching salvation to you. You're the choir. I don't have to preach salvation to you, do I? When I see new people come in, I don't have to preach salvation to my sister over there. I see her Bible. She probably preaches it to me. So I don't need to preach salvation to you, do I? So when I see new people come into the church, I kind of get an idea and I pray about that. And I kind of ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. And that's why sometimes you hear me do an altar call kind of thing, because the Holy Spirit's directing me. The Holy Spirit's not directing me to give you an altar call. The Holy Spirit's telling you to grow up. Be mature in your faith. Because there are going to be people who come in who need help. That's the true statement. And there is only one of me. And that's just the truth. And I'm getting older. No, I am old. That's right. There are going to be a whole bunch of people that's going to come in that door and they're going to need what? Help. Who in this room, I don't want to make anybody feel guilty. I don't want to make anybody feel guilty. But what I'm asking, who in this room can get up out of the chair like he did and go over to somebody he doesn't know and put his arm around and say, it's going to be okay, brother. We got this covered. Who can do that in this room? If you can do that, stand up. Then we are equipped. Then we are equipped. We are equipped to help people come in the door and help them grow in maturity. That's what we need to do. You may sit down. And so what is our job here today? Is to equip the equippers. It's to get us and grow us in the Lord. It's to grow us and mature us spiritually in the Lord so that we can fight what? The good fight. What we need in this church and all around in Christianity is we need a lot more succumbers and we need some overcomers. We need some people to fully grasp a hold of what your issue is and then what? Fix it. Using what? The blueprint. And apply it. That's what we need. We need to be a strong church, not a big one. Amen. We need to be a spiritual church. Not a 4,000 member one. We need to be a mover and a shaker. I will never forget in closing this message to you the words of John Wesley when he was relenting about growth and he didn't have enough pastors to preach to the new world. And he was really, really sad about that. He didn't have a lot of ordained ministers. And he was complaining to his mother, Susanna Wesley, about, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have enough pastors. There's not enough pastors. What am I supposed to do? There's not enough. And Susanna Wesley said to her son, John, we'll pray about that, and God will give you the answer. And so John went to bed and got up the next morning, bound downstairs for breakfast with his mom, Susanna, and his brother, Charles. And Susanna Wesley said to John Wesley, did God give you the answer? And he said, he did, mother, he did. And Susanna was a devout, godly woman. And Susanna said, pray tell, what is the answer? And John Wesley said this, you give me 100 men or women, I don't care whether they're pastors or not. If they love God and hate sin, I will rattle the gates of hell. But he said, you give me 100 men and women who hate sin, love God, I don't care whether they're ordained or not, and I will what? Rattle the gates of hell. And what we need to be in this place is some gate rattlers. We don't need to be a 4,000 member church with a coffee shop in the back of the church. We don't need to be that. We need to rattle some gates. And how are we going to rattle some gates? Be warriors. How are we going to be warriors? Growing strong in the Lord. How many want to be a gate rattler? You know what? There's only three pastors in this church, but how many gate rattlers? Woo! You can do a lot with gate rattling. A Bible like that rattles some gates. Praise the Lord. The one that says, no, I know. Praise the Lord. Let's be in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to understand what our job is. Our job is to grow and mature in the Lord. Our job is to become mature, lacking nothing, so that we are able to help people who are lacking everything. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to continue to move forward in our spiritual journey. Help us, Lord, to come from Jesus loved me, this I know, and to warriors for Christ. Because the oceans are coming, and we need to hang on. And all of God's children said,